Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to Friday Night SmackDown, the go-home show ahead of Extreme Rules. And how are you feeling ahead of this weekend's pay-per-view?
I'm ready for a good time. Like every Friday, I am ready for a good time. No, I'm not. The weird thing about Extreme Rules, as it stands, and as of recording, and we know that they'll change things and they'll add things and all that sort of stuff, is that it is not feeling like a post-pandemic show. It's got the distinct air of a 2020 performance center event. There is not a lot to get excited about. All the good stuff is from SmackDown, so at least we're going to be talking about the show that's going to be building the good stuff. But they have seemingly allowed this one to die on the vine for the good of the hideous Saudi Arabia deal, and because they're so robotically functional that they just think, oh, well, like, it's, you know, like the Raw adverts, like, if you're looking at Ricochet's cack, it must be Monday. It's like, if you feel like an obligation to put on a pay-per-view, it must be Sunday. That's the kind of air around Extreme Rules. And but in terms of SmackDown tonight, the big stuff is happening here. So at least in terms of a television show, which we know now to be the priority, they've maybe got stuff to talk about for 2 hours.
Yeah, they've got a few things advertised. You've got the IC title match. You've got Liv Morgan presumably defeating the 0-9 Zelina Vega to get that match with Carmella on Sunday. And the premiere of a new talk show we'll be getting on to. But before we get there, I was chatting with Phil beforehand about this, speculating about whether or not we could see Bobby Lashley show up tonight on the show, because there's no WWE Championship match scheduled. It seems that it's going to be heading that way. All the fallout from what happened on Monday, and not only that, but as Phil pointed out to me, when something big happens on the USA Network, they want something big to happen on Fox, and I suppose having a former champion come up and wreck some dudes to demand a title shot may well happen.
Yeah, the first thing that Big E did after winning the WWE title on Raw was appear on SmackDown, because nothing means anything. So to follow that up with the sixth man we got on Raw on Monday, suggested, at least in the short term, they are absolutely fine with a bit of moving around. There was no, did you notice that when we had the Bloodline on Raw, there was absolutely no mention of the quarterly brand-to-brand invitational.
Oh, yeah.
You can't imagine the head of the table tribal chief being like, can I have this quarter's Raw ticket, please?
Do we count as one or three?
Yeah, like doing the admin on a move to Raw. Nobody has brought this up. Nobody has mentioned this. So I don't think it's that wild a shout to think that Bobby Lashley might end up here tonight. They did a super effective job at one day selling you one day the prospect of Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns, I think, on Raw. Bobby Lashley for Big E, it feels right now. So it'd be mad not to at least drop that on the pay-per-view on Sunday, or at least, I don't know, like, talk about it as the big issue for Bobby Lashley right now. He wants his belt back. They did such a great job of it. I think all of them might be there. I think everything you saw on Monday that was good might be replicated on Friday. I think you might get all three of them kind of arguing, and Roman saying something like, look, I got to smash Finn on Sunday, but I'll smash you two at another point. And he can not no sell it, but he can do his right now stuff while leaving them in the background. And then you get to Big E and Bobby for Sunday. Like, to me, I don't know whether I should praise him or criticise him. Like, the rematch company and not doing the rematch feels so incredibly weird.
Mm.
It feels off that they haven't booked it, so why not do it on the $1 billion show tonight?
Yeah, I feel like that's the direction they're going. It feels like it's going to be a series of interrupted celebrations for Roman Reigns. He's going to come out tonight and say, look, I beat Big E and Bobby Lashley on the same night, celebrates that, and then maybe gets interrupted by Bobby Lashley here, who demands a title shot with Big E, of course, or Big E interrupts or whatever. Then he gets interrupted by the Demon, and he finally defeats him on Sunday, and we'll preview Extreme Rules a little bit later on today. That podcast is going to be out on Saturday, of course. And then I anticipate Brock Lesnar's going to show up on Sunday and say, see you in Saudi Arabia. But yeah, Roman and the Demon, it doesn't really require any more selling, but I sense that the show's probably going to open, as it always does, with the Bloodline coming out, because, yeah, it's just a... As much as I hate the opening promo trope of WWE... I don't really get tired of it when it's Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and Paul Heyman. You've also got Becky and Bianca, who, you know, Becky ruined Bianca's homecoming last week. But this is a match that requires no more investment either in terms of the fact that it's just a great match. It's like the match you could have got at SummerSlam if it hadn't have gone 10 seconds or whatever it bloody was. On Sunday, it's Becky versus Bianca. It requires almost no effort.
Yeah, they've done, and I love this about the ultimately the Becky Lynch push and the success of it in 2018, 2019. For the first time ever, they are positioning a woman as the legit headliner, and it doesn't feel forced, and it doesn't feel like Stephanie McMahon invented it.
Mm.
Like, in Becky Lynch, they know that she was the last star they actually created, like the last top-tier ceiling-smashing star they actually created. And when her stuff main events, it doesn't feel... still with that kind of like hair roughly, go on then, you can go on last. Like, there isn't that energy of it. The, like, if it's up to me, Bailey, for example, would be in that spot too. There are select other performers, but they never earnestly go as hard with the women. It's always with that air of obligation.
Mm.
Becky Lynch is the exception. And what's great about that, and I include even Sasha Banks in that. And like, Sasha and Bianca had that main event at WrestleMania. And even then, like, as powerful as it was for them and as emotional as it felt watching it, you sense that WWE are going to use this and brutalize it in a really strange way. Like, with Becky Lynch, there's none of that. And what's awesome about that is that I think, despite how SummerSlam came across and what at the time didn't feel like a heel turn that has since become one, maybe this program has elevated Bianca Belair. Like, I'm willing, I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong. And I think ultimately this was Becky Lynch's choice. She wanted to do this. She has forced something through that felt awkward based on the responses that she was getting at first. But last week, something changed. Last week, something clicked. I know this wasn't for everybody because WWE have got this reputation of burying people in their hometown. But I thought last week's show closing angle was really good. Like, I thought it was really strong. Becky Lynch has... I put over Britt Baker for getting rid of the DMD in her entrance in that like quest to get booed because that's her role. Becky Lynch tying her hair into balls. That's the only way I can think to describe it. She looked like Bjork or early 2000 Craig David. She had balls across her head, right? That was a choice. Those glasses were a choice. And coming out singing that Knoxville song, like over the top of her own entrance music... And then that line she got in that felt like improvised.
The title unlock line.
Yeah. I thought, like, I think I can get on board with this because this was what was happening when you thought it would get cheered in 2020.
Mm.
So this feels very responsive to, like, they judged where the wind was blowing quicker than Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened? You know? And I've said this before, I think the match on Sunday is going to rule because I think it plays to the strengths of both women, and you really don't need to do a lot now to get me there for Sunday.
Look, I'm not one of those people who avidly defends WWE online, but the moment that happened at SummerSlam and people complained, and I said, you know what, give them till Friday, and I think they have not even salvaged it, that's patronising them.
It was a plan.
They lost what they had in a potentially really good rematch, of course, with Sasha and Bianca. And they sort of bait and switched us. We'd be like, oh, you're going to get Carmella. And I was like, oh, bloody hell. No, actually, we're getting a returning Becky Lynch. And then they use that to inform someone who's a heel now. They wouldn't come out and say, oh, great to be back. And let's have a title match. And are you sure you're ready? Mm. No, if you're a heel, you go, well, she look at what happened at WrestleMania. She obviously sometimes not gets overwhelmed by the moment, but can really get involved in it. She's going to drop her guard. I'm going to put my hand out to shake her. She's going to think, oh, what a legend. And look at this crowd reaction. I've got to shake her hand. Boom, chin out. One, two, three sort of thing. And it's a sneaky little move from WWE, but they've got this dream match to another pay-per-view, despite the fact it's already happened. We've already had Becky versus Bianca Belair, but it works so well in storyline and in real life that, like, all right, that one doesn't really count. And with this one, maybe you're going to get some shenanigans with Sasha Banks. We'll talk more about that on the preview, as I said, tomorrow. But I think they've done an excellent job, and Becky in particular, considering we were like, oh, you can't really turn her heel. She's just come back from giving birth, and when she went away, she was a baby face. So it's always going to be a difficult, hard turn to make. But I think they've absolutely nailed it, and I think, you know, whether it's just a few more bad words tonight or whatever it may be, I don't think this requires a lot more to set up the title match. But speaking of title matches, we have got one on tonight's show. This is a rematch that we've seen several times. But weird that they haven't put this on the pay-per-view, to be honest, because at time of recording, we've only got six matches and one of them might not happen if Liv Morgan, well, she will, but, you know, if she can't beat Zelina Vega, that match doesn't happen, basically. But yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura, Apollo Crews, Apollo and Commander Aziz jumping Shinsuke and Rick Boogs last week. And it'll be an entertaining fair this. I sense maybe it won't go to a finish and we might get it hoyed on the kickoff show. But I mean, I don't see the title changing hands back to where it was a few months back.
Is it important to you, as it is to me, to be honest with our listenership?
Mm-hmm.
Because I love them. I love them. Podcast is an audio medium, not a visual one. And I'm glad for that today. I am under the weather. Some people would say that this under the weather was self-inflicted. I would choose to not go down that route. My liver resembles some guy on Twitter. I think he's called Mark Rains. His Friday night check-ins currently. And I needed you, Wilborn. I needed you today because you are this lightning bolt. You are this jolt of energy that's going to get me through this challenging day. And I love everybody listening, and I want them to know that my slightly shaky voice with some, shall we say, some post-birthday celebratory ales with a learned colleague of ours who has wisely taken himself out of the game today. And I bring all this up now because, like, today is going to be one of those days. We've all had them. You just think, oh, I've maximum shunted on a school night. That was an error. Ales, gins, Jaeger bombs. But we are so blessed to do this for a living that I love wrestling. And wrestling is this thing that drags me, my carcass, from the bed to the office to have nice times with you guys and talk about wrestling. And then, you know, like Roman Reigns, stuff. Becky Lynch, stuff. Bianca Belair, stuff. I don't have to fake it. You know, I don't have to be like, right, put the headache and put the beers away on one side. And then you can come at me with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental title and expect me to have an opinion on Shinsuke Nakamura versus Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental title when you are looking across from me and I have gone as grey as the soundproofing on our podcast studio wall. What is your problem?
So yeah, hopefully more boog stuff in my life, basically. I sense interference in this, but yeah, I don't see a title change. There's the long and the short of it.
Thank you for listening, Hugo, Haley, Aaron Merkel, Mr. Five Lawton, my favourite of all those jerks, Jay Wild. they know who they are, the AEW crew. Sarah, you're all class. I hope that you understand why I cannot possibly summon one thought this morning on Shinsuke Nakamura versus Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental title. This is on you. What is your problem, Wilbur?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, let's instead talk about Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega.
Get out! Shut up!
I mean, it's a stepping stone to the match with Carmella that she's asked for last week.
She won that match twice to get in Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I forgot about that. I want a match with you on the big stage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for Liv Morgan getting a pay-per-view match. Whether or not they utilise this match or the fallout from this match when she inevitably beats Zelina Vega to step it up a little bit. Because as far as I'm aware, there's only one match with Extreme Rules stipulation at Extreme Rules, and that's the Demon versus Roman. So I think Carmella's going to come down and get involved in this one way or another, but it's a straightforward victory for Liv Morgan.
Yeah, it's everything and nothing, this, because it's not... Liv Morgan and Carmella is not a feud. Like, let's not pretend it is. And yet, WWE, you know, this is the good show, SmackDown, is still so fractured that Liv Morgan can, like, argue with some rationale, like, why am I not getting an opportunity? What more can I do to show you what I've got? And I'm sad if this doesn't end up being stepped up for Sunday, because Liv Morgan is low-key ready to die for this cause. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of what she did in TLC. It's a TLC, Money in the Bank, or Elimination Chamber that we were talking about yesterday. I don't know if you remember, Wilborn. Shayna Baszler had a really dominant performance in the 2020 Elimination Chamber.
She's been rehabilitated after beating Nia Jax.
I'll have to send you the link for that match, because it's really... I think you'll like get some... like, I think you might want to reference that after you've seen it. And Liv Morgan that night showed most incredible guts and bravery to take the harshest of the bumps from Shayna Baszler. And because WWE don't book women with parity, and because Vince McMahon thinks that, well, once thought that, like, female MMA was barbaric, Phil, you don't get many opportunities to see this. I'd love it if this match with Carmella was given something, because of all the matches on that Extreme Rules card, and it's weird that they don't have stipulations, of all the matches on that card, that's the one that feels like, for no fault of their own, is going to get relegated to the pre-show. If you look at that card, small as it is, you're thinking, well, if anything's getting bumped to the kickoff, it's that. I just don't want, like, Liv Morgan. I like Carmella as well. I think Carmella's underrated. I don't want either of them to have to suffer the indignity of that.
Mm.
Like, they don't get, I hate this word, WWE bastardized every single word in the English language, opportunity. They don't get them as often as they should. I would like this to matter. I would like this to mean something. They've been given this match. It's more of a graphic than it is a match. But you have one show with which to find some fire, find some energy, and maybe give them a table or something. You know, like, give them something to work with.
The fans reacted really well to Liv Morgan, well, announcing that she'd just broken Carmella's nose last week. But, and they're not just, you know, crying out for more of her, but to give her more opportunities. It's all you see online is, you know, people suggesting maybe she should have won Money in the Bank or whatever it may be. Ironically, tonight she's facing the woman who was my pick. I was like, well, she's back. They're going to give her something good. And I don't think she's won a match since she returned. I hope that's the way things go. Speaking of women getting opportunities in WWE, why do management hate Naomi so much?
Because...
it's a great storyline, this.
Yeah, because management, every now and then, are cast as the avatars for WWE. It is one of the few times in a calendar year when the company realise what people think of them. And if you think back to the days where... the McMahon family, including Triple H came out and said, we're going to fix all this. We're really sorry we suck. You know, like that. Every now and then, they acknowledge that they are despised by their own consumer base. And this is a very small version of that. Naomi is one of them wrestlers that just, for whatever reason, has fallen through the cracks time and time again in this company where it's really easy to do that. Despite there being more than subjective evidence that she shouldn't. It's not just one of those things where, and I probably would use Liv Morgan as a example for this, since we've just spoken about her. Even before Liv Morgan had maybe shown what she could offer, people really fell in love with her. She cultivated quite an audience online. I think that's really cool. I think it's awesome when wrestlers can do that. But Naomi has done that and has had like a title reign that has made people think, oh, she absolutely
WrestleMania
can.
Title win, huge reaction when she came in at the Royal Rumble.
Well, this is it. Like, she can carry the big spots. She can carry it. And then you get the Royal Rumble moment and it goes viral. And that was important that went viral because it wasn't just about a big pop because, like, cards on the table, Edge got a bigger one, very same night. Mm. That went viral because that was a response to somebody that had been missed and people had feelings for. Mm-hmm. And that noise was to say, now she's back, use her in accordance with this response. And it never happened. And it felt almost vulgar that it never happened. She was put in her tag team with Lana, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, they didn't so much, like, abuse what they had with Naomi as take the piss out of it. It was that kind of, oh, you want Naomi, do you? Well, here's your Naomi. Like, and just made it meaningless. They
it
went
just an entrance at the end of
it all. Yeah, they went, like, sort of in reverse of how to use this really nice, organic moment. And I love that they're acknowledging that in a form of this angle with Sonya Deville. Naomi's going to join the Bloodline. It's going to be fucking awesome. It's going to be absolutely awesome.
Not just, I'm sort of trampling all over our preview. Please do listen to it tomorrow. We'll be previewing the whole of the Extreme Rules card that has been announced at time of recording. Because inevitably things are seemingly going to change this evening. But I feel like you need one more interaction with Sonya Deville tonight. Naomi furious that she's been fined for asking to work at her job. And another dismissal of, oh, I'm really sorry. Look, I was going to sort you out, but we, again, probably going to run out of time. I think she's punching someone in the dick on Sunday. One of the Street Profits is getting screwed out of that tag match because that's the route in, isn't it?
And all you need tonight is a very hassled, stressed, haggard Paul Heyman walking the corridor and Naomi comes out of yet another unsatisfying meeting with Sonya Deville and Paul Heyman passes and just, you got a minute.
Yeah,
and that's all.
I don't need the full Apollo Crews sitting. No, you know, sitting on, like, Roman Reigns' shoulder, effectively.
And like just that, and that's all you need. And like, she's gone to this door over and over and over again, and she's not had the results she wants. So Paul Heyman spies this, realizes the opportunity, and that's all we need to see ahead of. I think that's a good shout as well, like a low blow, some sort of reveal that matters. Like the first thing she does has a huge impact on this stable.
Then either or, you've either got champ Bianca Belair and her, and you can do Becky Lynch facing literally anyone because it's Becky Lynch you can hire in there with. Or if Becky Lynch retains and you want to take Bianca Belair out of the title picture for the time being, maybe give her a Royal Rumble win again or whatever it may be to reestablish her in the title picture. Or a chamber win, maybe that might be better. Anyway, yeah, you've got not to use AEW's phrase, but you've got a trios match there. Mm-hmm. You've got the Usos and Naomi versus the Street Profits and Bianca Belair. It's
that's
a story that writes itself.
Really simple,
and I don't normally like, oh, they're in a relationship, you know, mm-hmm. but this is, they've held back on a lot of it with both parties, to mm-hmm. be honest. So I really like that. Sorry to throw a lot of questions at you today, but I feel like you're going to like this one. Is Dominic Mysterio not on his dad's level then? Sami Zayn told me so much last week.
You wouldn't think it if you spoke to Ray himself, would you? I can't believe, Wilborn, that we have arrived.
It's tonight.
We have arrived at Dominic Mysterio, turn on Rey Mysterio. It is happening tonight. We have managed to get all the way through this podcast and not even brought this up. This should have been the headline story. We've said this for 2 years.
On a weekly basis.
Let me check my phone. Friday the 24th of September would be the day that Dominic turns on Rey, and it has happened. Like, what's so great about, like, fantasy booking this, and yes, you can give us our flowers because we nailed this, is that we knew that the 24th of September was going to be the perfect time. We looked at the calendar 2 years ago in 2019 and said, oh, that isn't Sunday going to be Extreme Rules? This is probably the perfect...
Think of the Mysterio's history, Extreme Rules. He lost an eye last year.
We forecast that Mysterio would lose an eye to Seth Rollins at the horror show. And we knew that this show... Like, some people, marks, idiots, thought that this would happen at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, come on.
Like, get on our level, IMO, because you're not thinking with the right brain. You haven't done the hashtag LTST. You haven't thought through the common sense turn of Friday, 24th September for the Mysterios. And I love that it's tonight. Again, I'm going to reiterate, I'm not feeling my best, and I need wrestling to fuel me. And Rey Mysterio getting turned on by his own son, that sounds really awful. Rey Mysterio being attacked by Dominic electric chaired by Dominic Mysterio on the 24th September, just as we called all the way back in 2019.
Yeah.
We should probably take our lap now.
Yeah, I'm sorry if we've spoiled that for you, but in terms of spoilers, in the words of Samoa Joe, it's out. There's some LTSD from Extreme Rules last year.
Dominic Mysterio. Oh! Is tonight going to find himself?
Do you know what I hope they do tonight? Sami Zayn versus Rey Mysterio and he beats him handily. And by that, I mean Rey beats Sami and goes, why do you have a problem with this guy? Like, I don't want to job out Sami a lot, but it's a funny story.
This guy's a schmuck.
He keeps beating Dominic Mysterio with relative ease, especially because his dad's there going, you're taking too much time on the frog splash. Oh, you've screwed it up.
Got it. Extreme Rules. Zayn Mysterio. Eye for an eye. If Mysterio loses, he loses his other eye. If Sami Zayn loses, he loses the letter I, and he has to be Sam Zayn, FBI.
Sam Zayn,
FBI. And he becomes a detective for some reason.
Right, let's conclude.
Come on, Affleck, get serious, because this next one's a biggie.
Piper's Pit. Whatever the Miz's one's called.
Alexa's Playground.
On the Lash, the new one on NXT, whatever it's called.
I don't want to do that ever again.
Miz TV, that's what I was thinking of.
The barbershop.
But never mind all that bollocks. It's tonight. It's time for Happy Talk.
Corbin, Happy Talk. We've stumbled on a pun. You've got to have a pun. You've got to have a pun. Nothing can matter but a pun.
So if you don't know, Happy Corbin's got his own talk show where they said, oh, what's he going to be talking about? That fancy beef he likes to eat? Mugging off Kevin Owens. I don't care because this character, I can't believe in 2021 I've gone, hey, Baron Corbin, you all right.
It's, yep. I love the, look, here I am with my, I can't believe I committed this to a podcast. Like, I love the SmackDown and Chris Kresge levels with this Corbin character. But I like that the one guy who offered him, extended a hand in Corbin's time of need, he's now the guy that Baron Corbin is taking out from behind every week. That's so funny. That is so good.
I love the fact he's also like, you know, I'm going to reassess my life. I think I need to be friends with Logan Paul. He seems like the right guy.
I was sat there like, I went to a Church of England school for our American listeners. That is kind of the common or garden Christianity. I'm not going to turn this into a religious podcast, but I bring this up because I don't consider myself a religious person, but it was just the local school. We sung hymns in an assembly. You didn't just sing songs when you all came together in the morning. You sang like church stuff, God stuff.
Kumbaya and what have
you. That kind of stuff, yeah. There was a song that like seemed designed to pop children. We would sit there pissing ourselves. Did you sing a song that went, I was cold, I was naked, were you there, were you there?
Yes!
Did you like remember that? Yeah.
About that.
And the creed and the colour and the name won't matter, were you there? And every verse was like sort of, everything was, were you there, were you there? My life was in rubbish, were you there? Like, I love that they've gone to that. Like Baron Corbin was sat on the floor with mustard on his shirt and Kevin Owens gave him $20. And what's happening now is walking to the ring and Corbin's pushing him into a LED, like LCD screen. Yeah. It's like, it is so brilliant that we have arrived upon that from that. And Owens gets to beat him. Like, we talk now about how like wrestling has changed to the point where you've got to put your big stuff on television rather than the pay-per-view. This is not that big. Put it on Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to draw a big number on SmackDown for tonight, the big one, Corbin, Owens, Fox,
billion
dollars.
They've been doing it loads on the house show loop here in the UK as well. So they've
booked it for Sunday. Yeah. Like, I'll have this for Sunday. Like, put Corbin's, put like a one of his like house, like his car keys or something on a pole and have them have to climb up and get them. And if Owens wins, he gets loads of Corbyn's wealth.
Yeah.
Something that is a reflection of Corbyn's like renewed wealth and pomposity, Owens takes it. Because he's a guy that has a baby face that doesn't care about any of that. But it's funny for him to destroy something that Corbyn loves.
I think he loses. I think if they do that, I think he loses via help from Logan Paul. I think we're getting Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens at a Survivor Series or something.
I like that. It's built off something rather than nothing in terms of WrestleMania. And you very likely, if he hasn't signed a contract by then, put Logan Paul over. Because if, let's say, for example, I wish guys like a bit of a call to like a cry for help here.
Mm.
Unfortunately, obviously WWE is the only wrestling promotion. Mm. There's nowhere, it's a monopoly. There's nowhere else that Kevin Owens can go on a mainstream level. Like you go to the Indies, you go to Japan, but like I wish there was another wrestling show that Kevin Owens could go to. I wish this is the thing as well. You probably don't know this, and that's okay. Like Kevin Owens has never wrestled by another name, so it's not even like he can go anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't even know what he would call his finisher, because like the powerbomb, like the big fans call it the Owens driver. Like the what would he do? What would he call his big moves if he went somewhere else and couldn't even use Kevin Owens? He's not good. So I'm sure when January comes, he'll sign his WWE contract because there's going to be nowhere else that he can go. Where else would you go?
One final thing I would like to say about Happy Talk is I hope they've put more than 5 minutes thought into this. Like they won't have with the scripting, obviously, but I don't just want a red carpet and a stool. I want, if you're going to do a talk show and you're Happy Corbin and you're minted, even if it's just both seats are like Lazy Boy chairs with massage settings or whatever it may be, or something more than just, we're going to put a bit of felt on the ring and he's going to have a different light setup or whatever.
Do you remember that image of like life's top heels, Donald Trump and Nigel Farage in like a gold lift?
Elevator,
you were just like the only thing that wasn't gold on that picture was their puce expressions because they were probably angry at people that weren't from the country they were from. Like that opulence, that disgusting opulence, like needs to be replicated in the ring tonight. Like that image from the early 90s of Vince McMahon sat in his living room and behind him is a 100-foot picture of himself.
Mm.
Like that's what they need to kind of really drill into. The fact that Ted DiBiase, when they were doing his vignettes, like, how can we make this guy look as big a dickhead as possible? And Vince is like, I got a cape. I own a cape. Wear this cape.
Yeah.
Like you were dealing with the people that should be able to like pitch this perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see gross, disgusting wealth out of this segment. Because again, like Kevin Owens is a working, like when he's a babyface, he's a working class hero. Like this is all perfect on paper. Don't waste it. Like don't blow an opportunity to like have some real fun with this.
Mm. They're probably gonna have the bloody demon on the show and just trash the place.
Demon comes out, demon stuff, sticks his tongue out. We like it.
It's a bit of goo. But either way, as I often say with this preview on SmackDown, I'm intrigued by tonight's show. I'm very excited to see what they do because it's been a hell of a week and it's just a great time to be a wrestling fan right now. let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight, though, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Matt Reigns. You can go to hell. I don't even know why. Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. Or daily wrestling podcasts, of course. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.